And welcome to another Round the Rotary podcast with me, your host, JP Warren. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening today. I know you have your choice of podcasts out there, especially in the oil and gas industry. And thank you for tuning in to the number one oil and gas podcast in the U.S., per my wife. That being said, Around the Rotary podcast is brought to you by Capital Petroleum Consultants. CPC specializes in project engineering and wellsite supervision in all disciplines of the oil and gas industry. Contact us through www.capitalpetroleumconsultants.com to see what CPC can do for you today. Or just hit me up. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, all that. I'm on email too. I'm on email. So anyway, Tyler, with us in the studio today is an old buddy of mine, Tyler Vernado, the business development manager, Axio Catol Services. Did I get that right?
That's right.
That's right. Okay. So how you doing today, buddy?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what's been going on? So you're a big podcast guy.
Man, I was not. But
are we talking about PC, like pre-COVID?
Yes.
Okay.
Pre-COVID. Probably in the past year or so, actually. I mean, I was diving into some podcasts a little bit, but not heavy in it.
Okay.
Now it's, you know, I'm waiting on podcasts to come out.
Really?
My library's full. It's different things. It's, you know, it just depends on what it is.
You know, I feel like there's so much out there now. Like, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and there's a lot of – I just got in audiobooks. I think we had one with we did a podcast with Josh Hegg, mm-hmm. with Noble, now Chevron, I guess. And he's talking about audiobooks, and Jacob Foltz also mentioned doing audiobooks. So I took the plunge, and you have your wealth of stuff to kill your time in traffic these days.
Audible's great.
Is it worth a subscription, though?
100%.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Going through books, they send different.
Well, how do you choose your books?
Depends what mood you're in. Some days you go in and you just search, and it's, hey, whether I want a business book or something to work on finances, or you want some fiction to break it up. Because
right.
I'll read a couple books on a business, management, sales, whatever it is, and then my third or fourth book is
something for yourself.
Something fiction, something to get out of it for a minute, something to decompress. The Jack Carr books now are kind of like the new –
what's that?
Old Tom Clancy.
Is that the Tom Clancy? Like,
well, it's kind of like the new Tom Clancy.
Like Rainbow 6, 17.
Some of it is, but it's just something new to get out of it and listen to something else.
So you do, you try to I guess, fill your time in, I guess, in the whether it's in the car or the gym, wherever you listen to podcasts. I guess usually, so it's a lot to, like, I guess, business development and, like, I guess, personal betterment.
Sure. Personal growth, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it goes under different titles or categories depending on what the book's geared
right.
towards. But yeah, a lot of the business books are great and been really helpful over the past few years as far as learning. And then, like I said, the podcast, different perspectives. It's not just this shove a theory down your throat like some of the books do, and they're helpful. But you get podcasts, you get conversations, you get people to listen, and it's a conversation as opposed to just somebody giving you their two cents and how they feel about something and why they're right.
Yeah.
So it's neat to have people talk about things as opposed to
No, I mean that's the thing. There's so many podcasts out there. There's so many different. I mean, there's the technical side of podcasts. There's mm-hmm. the forecasting. There's so many different, I guess, avenues on stuff. So I think anyone can find what they're looking for when it comes to, you know, an oil and gas podcast right now. I'm sure there's others, new ones that are popping up
sure.
daily. But this is just kind of this podcast. I'm sure you know is just kind of just a, you know, shoot the shit session, kind of go back and forth and kind of learn more about you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this industry that we're in is such a cool industry. It's such great people in the industry. So that's kind of the purpose of this, to kind of showcase the personality behind the role.
It's been cool to listen to this podcast, especially, you know, when you first started doing it, and I started mm-hmm. listening immediately. I've had a few I've missed in between.
Just what?
Between. Yeah, I know. But I'll make it up. Don't worry.
You want to reschedule this podcast?
I'll have them all done by the end of the day.
Okay.
I'm going to go home and just podcast.
There you go.
But
podcast hard, bro.
I will. But it's been cool to see a lot of the guys in the industry that come in and talk, people that I wasn't familiar with before, people that I knew of, and to hear how they say, and whether it's sales, whether it's operations, whether it's operators, it's been
recruiters.
Really,
yeah.
It's really helpful. Guys that are doing different things out of the industry now, it's been fun to listen to how they their role, their story, what changed, and what they've been doing that made them successful. Because I think one of the best things you can do is talk to guys who you appreciate something about them or something you see in them. And if they can take, you can have a little takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a huge deal.
Everyone's got a story too. You know, there's a lot of people that I'll talk to. It's like, hey, I'd love to come on the pod. They're like, man, I don't have a story. You know, and I'm like, everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to someone, not one person's story is exactly the same as someone else's. Mm-hmm. You know, how they got in the oil field, their career, or anything like that. So I encourage it. You know, whoever wants to, you know, reach out. You know, obviously we'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. But that being said, let's get into this, Tyler.
All right.
We're going to get into all the podcasts and the book and in your toolbox later. But give us a little background, kind of as long as you want or as short as you want, kind of your background and where you're from and kind of what brought you where you're at today.
So originally I'm from Denham Springs, Louisiana, just outside of Baton Rouge. Okay. I usually try to tell people I'm from just outside of Baton Rouge.
And that's like, you know, saying you're from Houston, but like growing up in Katy.
Sure.
Yeah,
and then
I get
people who are familiar are like, hey, where are you from? Denham Springs, growing up, you know, only an hour from the coast and actually having an oil and gas presence in Louisiana.
Yeah.
If you'd have driven a drilling rig through Denham Springs down the highway, we would have thought it was a spaceship.
Okay.
We had no clue. A lot of family worked in the refineries. A lot of people had, you know, that downstream presence.
Yeah.
But we had no clue. As far as we were concerned, we thought there was a big pipe below the refineries down to this big, which we didn't even know it was called a reservoir at the time, right?
Pool. This big pool, underground
pool. Dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
A dinosaur stuff. And didn't know.
Well, you know what? Shame on us as an industry for not, I guess, for people that grow up, even, I mean, we're talking about being, you know, advocates, ambassadors of our industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even teaching in our own backyard.
Yeah, we were there. I mean, I'm an hour from New Orleans, an hour from Lafayette, an hour and a half from Houma. And these are big oil field cities at the time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a clue. So, yeah, it was interesting.
So you're first generation.
First generation.
Okay. All right.
So now, go to school there, leave high school, go to Louisiana Tech. I was going to go to LSU with a bunch of friends.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to go and kind of got encouraged by my parents that maybe you should go get away for
Tyler,
a little while.
Yeah, I know you, Tyler.
Yeah.
I know how this is going to turn out.
Yes.
Yes.
So probably wouldn't have graduated from LSU or would have maybe just had to take more than one victory lap at least.
That's a high probability.
So went to Louisiana Tech, had a great time up there, studied civil engineering.
Didn't Adam DiMaggio go to Louisiana Tech?
He did.
Yes, okay.
And ended up transitioning from engineering at the time. Came to Houston, actually shattered a civil engineering group. Young, dumb. Didn't know any better. I really wish I would have had the engineering degree. But came to Houston and was sitting in a cubicle doing homework problems for guys to sign off to. And that just wasn't me at the time. I liked being a little more outgoing, a little bit more in the mix. And it just didn't fit well. So I go back to school. A buddy of mine convinces me to change majors to communication.
And what's that? What's communications mean?
So communications and PR and media studies and stuff like
that.
Actually, you know, looking back now saying, hey, getting a communication and media studies degree in rural North Louisiana probably wasn't a big job market out there after.
Right.
So after I graduated, stayed working in the bars, doing some things. I bartended all through college.
All right.
And sitting there one night and I called a buddy of mine, said, hey, man, it's a Monday night. I'm bored. Come up to the bar. Let me buy you a beer. So he shows up to the bar. I buy him a beer. He steps outside to smoke a cigarette, and there's this oilfield chemical company outside. One of the managers outside smoking a cigarette, too.
All right.
Offers him a job.
Just like that.
Yeah, hey, man, we're looking to change things up. We want to hire some college-educated guys to
offered you a job that
offered
night?
My friend.
Wow.
On the front porch. So
love that.
A month later, my buddy's in the oilfield, and this is about as much as I know oilfield at the time, except that there's a big landman boom in North Louisiana at that point. We thought oilfield was landman too, still not knowing.
Oh, when I first got into sales, I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah, there were so easy. Yeah, they're more engaging, more easy to talk to,
I guess,
you know, being fresh into sales. Yeah.
And so a month later, he shows back and they go, hey, this company wants to hire another college grad that doesn't mind working. Or what do you think? I'm like, sign me up. I said, what does it entail?
Oh, so you had no idea about it.
Very little.
Okay.
I said, hey, you get a, you go check on chemicals, you are in the field working on pumps, you are as a chemical field technician at the time. So
completely opposite of what you're studying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing in my wheelhouse at the time, I liked it. Hey, you're outside every day. You're doing something different.
Learn something new. Yeah. Work with some good people. Yeah.
Yeah. And we need you to take some guys to lunch and breakfast, too. And I was like,
well, how long were you doing this field service technician job before they asked you to start taking people to lunch?
So that was immediate. It was, hey, we want you to take care of make sure the pumpers and the field soups are happy. Visit with them. If there's things they need you to go fix or repair, do that. Yeah. And it was a great job.
Okay.
We had a great time. And
were you nervous about that? I guess going from a communications degree to start working in the field, to start taking these people to lunch in a different industry, that because it's kind of like it's our own little culture. You know what I mean?
Sure. I wasn't nervous at the time at all. I was happy to do it because I just wasn't happy working in the college bars anymore. I needed a change. I wanted to actually, start a career and do something and make a change.
I get it.
So it was a great change for me. Made some great people, had a great time, learned a lot. Because it was great to actually play on that production side for the beginning part of my career as well. From there, had some guys that were spinning off and doing a chemical completion chemicals company following in the Haynesville in South Texas.
Okay.
And they asked me if I would go to work for them. And I left there and went to South Texas. They needed somebody to go run the South Texas division. And I didn't know what I was doing. They needed a body, to be quite honest.
Okay, I was going to say, how the hell did you get that from?
They needed somebody who didn't mind being away from home.
Okay.
They needed a warm body that was willing to be in South Texas and kind of police things that were going on.
Right.
Being there for a short time is where I actually fell into a sales role.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So
how long ago was this?
So that was in 2011.
Okay.
I want to say.
All right.
Moving down there into South Texas first. Packed up over two nights. It was like, hey, we want you to move to South Texas and take this job. Are you willing? I'm like, yeah, when do I start? And this is Saturday. So I go home, pack a bag, and do that. So I'm spending probably at that time 27, 28 days a month in South Texas.
Okay.
Which was great. We had a sales team down there that kind of wasn't performing. And I kind of got handed sales and running operations as well.
Okay.
So I'm just thrown in the fire. I don't know completions at the time.
Right.
I know the limited amount I've been down there. So making sure the jobs that we have are going out at the time, making sure inventory control, trusting the operators that we have down there. And I'm making sales calls at night. So at that time, the Eagle Ford was booming.
Blowing and going.
So I just followed frac lights and coil tubing units because that's what we were doing, was mixing plants and following the coil tubing units. So I'd go look for frac lights, look for the gooseneck in the air, and head to location, ask for the company man.
That's it?
Yeah, that was the program for a while.
The days before iPhones.
Yeah.
These apps.
So just driving around looking. Just go to the hotspots.
That's pretty cool.
It was interesting, and it was fun. So from there, did that for a few years, made some great friends there, and got recruited to actually move to Houston, take a corporate sales job with Pioneer Energy Services.
Okay.
Great job. Spent 4 years there.
So this job at Pioneer. So you went from operations, kind of sales, operations heavy, moonlight and sales, pretty much.
Sure.
And then you just went strictly sales for Pioneer.
Right. And actually, in between that time is when you and me actually first met. I came to Houston for a sales call.
And where do we meet at?
Oh, man, it was actually the Ocean Air in the Galleria. Whenever we could all had expense budgets and could actually go.
When Eagleford was something.
Yes.
Yes.
We went from there, ended up at a place, and I thought Houston was so cool at the time. And it is. It's a great place. But this guy coming from Louisiana, North Louisiana, now Cotulla, Texas, and showed up in Houston. It's like, hey, we're eating this awesome food. Then we're going to smoke cigars and drink coffee after.
I think we went to Downing Street now.
It's not there anymore.
It was a cigar. Yeah. It was an old school cigar bar with a lot of bourbon, a lot of whiskey, a lot of scotch there. Mm-hmm. You can smoke inside.
Yeah.
It was back in the heyday, back in like.
It was very Mad Men.
Very Mad Men style.
Yeah.
Now it's a cycling studio, and there are a lot of people posting, your tribe, your ride attracts your tribe.
Sure.
That's what, yeah.
I prefer the cigars and the coffee.
You know what? I will take bourbon and cigars any day over a ride spinning class. Okay.
Yeah.
Any day.
So maybe on the next uptick, we can bring one of those back.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's go old school.
But ended up coming to over there and coming straight corporate sales.
Okay.
And at that time, I was also splitting time between, they need somebody on the road, but going from 28 days a month in South Texas and spending 1 or 2 days at home a month to say, hey, we want you to split time between Dallas and Houston primarily, still okay. San Antonio, still North Louisiana, kind of wherever we
Austin
need.
Austin a little bit. But I'm sorry, go on.
But you still get to spend 2 weeks in your bed. Yeah. I said, that sounds amazing.
Well, how was that going from, I guess, managing operations and kind of doing, the nighttime sales calls to going strictly to sales, to corporate sales in Houston? I mean, Dallas corporate sales. I mean, mm-hmm. how was that shift for you? And did you change your tactics or your approach or anything like that?
There was a huge change as far as what I was doing because, it wasn't ride around and look for frack lights at night. It wasn't go pull up and talk to the company man. It wasn't go walk in the doghouse at the coil unit and say what's going on, who's in charge, who you got over here. It was I really relied on my peer group, meeting you guys like you and different people who were really influential, especially in my first couple years in Houston. It was great.
Well, that's when I first got into sales in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. So, and I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't.
If anybody has the playbook right now, what works, please send it to me after this.
Yeah, seriously. Anyone listening right now.
But it was great. Going in, doing something new. I like a new challenge. I like something new to focus on. So the sales aspect of it was really interesting because it was different going from location to calling on guys in the office in a corporate setting and with just a little bit different perspective. Still same goals, but just a different way. I mean,
different approach. You know what's interesting about that, though? I sat down with someone yesterday who just got into sales. I mean, they were at a directional company, and they just got into sales. And before they were doing operations pretty much their whole career, And he was just asking, like, hey, I'm asking everybody for a couple pointers and all that stuff. And I kind of said the exact same thing you'd said. I think the biggest asset to a lot of salespeople, mm-hmm. salesmen and saleswomen, is utilizing your network of other sales friends, yeah. Because you might know someone that I don't know, and I can piggyback off of you, and you can piggyback off of me.
Well, at that time, too, it was also, which would be interesting in entering sales right now. At that time, we had all these events to be at. And I was told, hey, be at every event, every sporting clay,
and
every golf tournament.
They were well attended by operators, too, at the time.
Yeah, and you could just get there and just shake hands, meet people. And finally, people, even though I was a nobody in the crowd, it was people recognized you. Like, hey, I know the you guy or man or whatever it is. And finally, it was, you were familiar enough, people would have a conversation with you. Or they'd notice you in the breakfast room next week and say, hey, you were at the golf tournament on Saturday or Friday, weren't you? Yes, sir, I was.
I remember back in 2012, 2014, those events, those the Doug Eagleford, the Doug.
So much.
Permian Bay. And they were very well attended by not just the
operators
service side,
well.
But operate. Exactly, as operators as well. And I think over the past 4 or 5 years, those have just trickled down to maybe a half a dozen operators at these mm-hmm. that I've seen at these things. And mm-hmm. now it's just a.
And now they're virtual.
Now there's nobody there.
Yeah. I don't think the sales guys are really attended very much anymore. So had a good stint at Pioneer. Really enjoyed that group. Now I actually work with some individuals as well that we've worked together in previous roles over there as well. Had an opportunity. At that point, I was selling coil tubing services. And went to C&J Case Toll Services, recruited me to go over there and sell wireline for them.
All right.
So, I get the call, and it's kind of one of those things that I was getting the call. Hey, you want to come sell wireline? Yeah, sure. What do you know about wireline? That you want me to sell it? That's about it right now. I've seen a wireline truck, but I spent more time, dealing with coil units. And, dove head first in. Hey, let me go to location. Let me check this stuff out. A new challenge, another thing. It's a same set of customers, different set of questions, and it's something you can learn. And I don't need to be I don't try to also be the technical authority on things.
Right.
Hey, I can talk about it. I can broker the guy that you need to talk to. I can say, hey, listen, like we've talked about in the past. Hey, if you want to talk about shooting shotguns or going and catching a fish or something, I am your guy. Let's do that.
Right.
That's great. But hey, if you really want to get in on what I can pull, or as far as what
the details of the specs.
Super technical. Hey, I have a guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to give you great advice. He's going to talk to you about it, and we're going to come up with a solution.
Well, I'm that way too, man. Like, it's one of those things. If I don't know the answer, I'm not going to bullshit my way through, just because then it comes across like, then I don't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, but at the same time, what you're saying is what I'm saying too. It's like, I'm not that guy, but I know the guy.
Sure.
And let me set this up.
And it's been great because you also get to develop these relationships with, whether it's friends, whether it's new people or whatnot, you get to provide a service for them and a value for them. Whether you may not be the guy giving them answers, but you've put them in touch with the guy.
Yeah.
And you check that they're happy from time to time. I've got a
ton. And you make their job easier.
Bingo. It's a solution.
Yeah.
And I've got guys now call them like, hey, I just got off the phone with your district manager. Y'all going out. I'm like, hey, I didn't even know, but that's great. I'm glad that you're calling them. I'm glad that you have this relationship with them, and I'm glad that we're doing it. If you need anything from me, call me. If not, I'm going to make the same phone call to you in the next week or two weeks or whatever and make sure you've got things going on. But great.
So you're at C&J. You just started selling a product that you had no idea about. And actually, this is kind of something that, you know, Alan Bernard with Gyrodata and a lot of people have said. Like, it's the yes mentality. Like,
Let's do it.
Here's an opportunity. It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. You may know. Yeah, I'm in. I'll jump in on that.
Yeah, loved it.
Stretch yourself a little bit.
Yeah, and dip your toe into new things. Try to figure out stuff. I want to have a better understanding of the oil field as a whole.
Okay.
Not just one area for me, because I want to be more valuable. And so Wireline was great. One of the best times selling. That was a great culture. Some great team.
Right.
Had a great time. Industry was changing. We were making some moves and spent about 2 years there and had an opportunity come up with QES, Quintana Energy Services. Got to go work with some great guys over there. They needed somebody to come over, and they gave me the opportunity and the latitude to go sell all services. I was selling wireline at the time.
Is that all completions?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I had the opportunity to sell frac, wireline, coil tubing over there. You know, they had snubbing service as well. You could sell the whole gambit, which was really cool to go do that.
Yeah.
And have the opportunity to sell bundled services at the time, which was a huge competition for us at other companies as well. And that was kind of where the industry was trending. So, you know, extremely thankful for those guys giving me that opportunity. And then most recently, I made a move to Axio Cased Hole Services.
When did you make a move to Axio?
So Axio was September of last year.
Okay.
So... year and a half almost.
Yeah. You're in 14 months.
Yeah.
14 months.
Yeah. So
I'm not the engineer.
Me either. Communications, remember?
Actually, it'll be a year and a half when this is released, so you're
sure.
Right.
Had some guys we had worked with in the past showed up and said, hey, are you interested in coming over and helping us with some sales? And, you know, we visited about what their vision was, what their goal was. And at the time, all of us had worked in some wireline roles. We're a wireline, cased hole wireline company that focuses on vertical, conventional work. We'd all played in the pump down market and the completions market and the horizontal market for a while, and it had become super commoditized. It was very competitive, very cutthroat. It was very saturated. And we said, hey, they wanted to go back and get back to the basics of wireline, get back to doing some remedial work, and they kind of had a little bit of the gray hair to go do it.
Yeah.
We've got some great technical guys, some guys that have been in the industry for a long time and have focused on this work that's kind of been, in my mind, a little bit of a lost art. It hasn't been the high revenue, the stuff that Wall Street and all the private equity companies that were investing see this stuff and go, that's attractive. That's a big revenue sheet. That's huge. This is a little bit more...
So do you feel that's kind of why it's the lost art? It wasn't that bling,
that's
diamond?
That's exactly right. All right. You know, it's you know, we're the plumbers of the oil field now.
Okay.
We're not the bell of the ball or anything like that, or all these things. We're not frack. We're not a drilling rig. We don't have these huge numbers.
Right.
But you also get to walk in and tell these guys, hey, listen, I want this type of work, the stuff that you've had – five people ahead of me come in today and talk about, and they didn't ask for this because it doesn't make sense for them to go do these revenue numbers or utilize their equipment to
it's
do
not
this.
It's not in their bundle.
Right.
Well, that's kind of interesting. So you have this opportunity at QES where you can actually sell the whole gambit of things, this whole bundle thing, whatever that looks like. And it's interesting how you go from a product specific or bundling, what can I provide to the customer? And so you went from that to it seems like you went from a product focus to more of a company culture focus, a company strategy, which is interesting. Can you talk to me about why you made that switch and how come that why you enticed to do that?
So it was an opportunity also to get into management. I had been a frontline soldier for quite a while, which I enjoyed. That's fun. I love that pre-COVID grind we talk about.
PCG.
And this was an opportunity to get into management, to have a voice, to help steer and have a hand on the wheel.
Okay.
And so one of the big things we wanted to do over there as well was create a sales culture and a company culture where we had non-competitiveness internally, which I've been at companies before where the sales guys, and I've worked with some of my best friends where I'm trying to get their equipment from their whoever they're providing it for, upsell it and get it on my location because I want to win.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting environment, but it's not always conducive to the company. So we wanted to get a culture where we looked up and people know, customers know multiple lines of communication. They know district managers. They know multiple sales guys. They know if they want to have the number to the president, they can have the number to the president. We're not a huge group, but if they want to talk to somebody, we don't have any bureaucracy to go through to make decisions as well.
And your accounts and your customers aren't guarded.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no guarding. I'm excited if I'm sitting at dinner and I've got my phone on the counter, not at the dinner table, and customer calls me. They have somebody they know right away. They can pick up the phone and call in the next 30 seconds, and somebody's going to pick up the phone.
So if you don't pick up, they have that relationship with the whole company where they can actually call whoever they would. The second person they can call.
Yeah, their second point of contact is typically our district managers out of our districts, and they have. And I say typically in the beginning of the cycle. Now I'm kind of typically the second point of call now because they've become very comfortable calling district managers and going straight to the source. Said, hey, we want this,
That makes your job a little bit easier. So how do you walking into this and you're talking about, so this culture wasn't built then when you came aboard Axio?
We just shaped it a little bit. We wanted that culture.
Well, how did you shape it?
By going in and actually showing these guys that I did not want recognition. I didn't want this competitiveness. I walked in and some of the guys that were there previously grabbed them and we sat down and had a talk about who knew who, what customers we previously worked with, how it overlapped. And I said, hey, I'd like to take you and go with me. And I want to introduce you to all my customers at this company or all my contacts. And I want you to meet them. So it was very much, I went in and extended the olive branch first. I wanted to say, hey, listen, this is my card. I want you to have contacts with everybody that I know. I want to give you this. And things are reciprocated really well when it works like that. When people know you're not coming in as a threat or you're trying to challenge them, they know you're on the same team. They respond in kind for the most part.
And the transparency is there because a lot of times people, I mean, especially I feel like during times, right? I don't even know during times right now, but I remember a lot of people guard their accounts or if you say, oh yeah, I ran into Stacy Smith over at, wherever, it's like, oh, I know her too. I'm going to call her, whatever that is. And it becomes sloppy.
Well, and one of the things I've tried to do is encourage them to call. So if we talk to somebody and I go, hey, I know JP over at CPC and somebody goes, hey, I know him. Awesome. Give him a call. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I'm happy to play whatever role we need. If you need me to play, hey, good guy, bad guy, whatever it is, or say, hey, you need me to help schedule a meeting or you need me to bow out. Tell me what you need.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
No, hey. So, and it makes jobs easier. It frees up time to go do other things. And it makes the guys, collaborative.
How is it going from selling that bundle services to selling this? And I guess what does Axio focus on?
So Axio focuses on conventional case hold services.
Okay.
So we're all in the vertical. We got out of the horizontal plug-and-play market, out of the everyday completions that has become so popular associated with horizontal frac. Now, we're in the mechanical world. We do a lot of logging. We do a lot of remediation. Okay. We do some vertical completions, a lot of attached to workover rigs, pipe recovery as well. We've got a gambit of things we can do. I mean, the list is long, but it's one of those things that it's just a little bit less popular, and it's a little bit more geared to the production side, which has been good. You know, I played in the completions world for a long time, but also production's got a lot of stuff to offer, and now we focus on that. It's just a little bit different, a different service.
So you got in September, so you're there for about 4, 5, 6 months before the world. So tell me about that. I mean, I know that you and I during this time, we've talked several times over the phone for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour and all that stuff since all this stuff happened, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. But your mindset, tell me about your mindset when because you were very regimented, I feel like. I may be wrong. I feel like you were very regimented. You did your breakfast run, you did your lunch, you did your coffees, you did your hunt, you did whatever it was. And that kind of got wiped off the table. So you've kind of taken on this new motivation. And I want you to kind of speak to that a little bit.
Sure. You know, I'd love to sit here and say, I saw this coming. I had a game plan. I went into this and knew it. Hey, it was tough to respond to not having that regimen anymore. I loved having somewhere to be from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., right. Go get your dinner, and hey, there was somewhere to have a drink. There was somewhere to go gather with people. Gather's a bad word now.
You know what? That is true. It's we live in, during these times now, like if you have a get together and there's like, you know, 10 people or 15 people and like you get a picture and it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to post this picture because it might be, you know, people, it's such a hot topic right now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like the other day I walked, I walked, you know, to the bathroom without a mask on or something like that. And I felt like guilty.
Ooh.
I felt like I was like breaking, but it was a closed off. Anyway, the point is the world we live in. Go on.
It's interesting to see, but, you know, I sat around. I was angry. My toolbox that I was so used to going into, everything that had been, you know, key in some of the success I'd had was no longer a thing you could do. It was, you didn't have access to customers. You didn't have access to people to go see. So I was pretty aggravated at the beginning, to be quite honest. I'd love to say that I had this wonderful outlook. And, of course, you put that out for the rest of the team. You have good attitudes. And then it was also about realizing that you control your attitude. That's one of the few things we can control throughout this. So once getting a grip on that, it took a little bit of time.
Well, how do you control your attitude?
You give yourself a pep talk, and also you have a good support group. And so the people that you're sitting at the table with, whether it's in a professional setting, whether it's at the dinner table, whether it's the guys you pick up and call on the phone, whether they're industry guys, whether they're previous mentors, whether they are customers that you become really good friends with, you can call and people are frustrated.
Right.
Everybody's got some degree of frustration now. You can call, talk it through, get it back. Take a couple minutes if you got a vent to a good friend or whatever. And, you know, the good friends that I have look up and go, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Good question. So adjust. So one of the things I first did was, hey, I really wanted to see people. So at one point, hey, you know, I had an ice chest in the back of the truck and would go have a beer with somebody on their driveway. Say, hey, listen, I'll come to you. I want to see you. Like, let's hang out. I like human interaction.
Right.
What are you doing this evening? Let's have happy hour
on your driveway.
On the tailgate.
Yeah.
No big deal. You can sit on your tailgate 6 feet from me if you want, whatever. So I was doing that and said, you know, what is in my wheelhouse that I'm good at, that I like, that works for me? I'm not this social media guru.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not this great computer whiz. I wasn't a golfer pre-COVID. I know golf's been a great outing for people. I need to get better at going. I need to get better at golfing.
Well, I think everyone that plays golf says they need to get better at golfing.
Sure. but this wasn't the time for me to take up golf either, in a place that I needed to be conservative with how I spend my money as well.
Right. That's true.
So I said, let's take that same intensity and grind that we had previously. It's different. It's not the same thing where you have that. But let's try to be present from those times that we were working before, whether it's reach out via email, whether it's send texts, whether it's make calls. Get up and work every day.
Yeah.
Use your skill set. Adapt it a little bit. Hey, the social media is a huge thing now. If I had that skill set, which I would like to refine it and get better at it, that would definitely be something I'd look at doing. That wasn't what I was good at previously.
But you know what? That's an interesting point that you had, because I think that, you know, you often, you know, you see all this stuff like get up, you know, wake up and hustle, you know, rise and grind, you know, and a lot of people feel like, okay, well, if I'm sitting stationary, I'm not doing my job, mm-hmm. you know, but that you had a good point though, that before you get up and rise and grind and
sure.
get after it, like hit the ground running, before you do all that, you mentioned an important aspect of that too. You might want to pause and actually take a kind of a self-reflection and say, what are my skills? Do I know that I'm strong at? And
sure.
how can I use that and get in front of people and expand my network during these times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was trying to figure out what worked for you. And also figuring what doesn't work for
yeah.
you. Being aware and figuring that out. One of the things that was great for me, I got up when I finally kind of got out of that little rut. Everybody was in a rut.
Yeah.
When I got out of that little rut, I got up every day, got dressed, got in my truck, and drove the beltway the entire way around, making phone calls.
Okay.
Hands-free, of course. But calling people. My truck has been my office for years and years and years. I felt comfortable in it. I listened to podcasts in it. I listened to audiobooks in it. I talked to customers in it. It felt very familiar. And so okay. that's something I still do today. It's, hey, listen, I need to, instead of sitting on the couch or sitting at the table or in the kitchen or whatever, hey, get up, get in my truck.
Get in your comfort zone.
Bingo.
Right.
And go make calls.
Okay.
Hey, there were times I pulled up. I remember pulling up to a buddy of mine's office. They're not there, of course. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? I'm sitting in your office parking lot. Wanted to see if you want to have coffee. You know I'm not there. Yeah, but I'll come to you. Whatever. Like, hey, let's catch up. I'm kind of going through the motions and just trying to do things that are familiar and fit in my wheelhouse.
Right.
So that was really helpful for me.
So it's finding something that kind of I like the aspect that you got in your truck and started driving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's where your entire sales career, that's where you're used to. And that's what your comfort zone. That's when you can have those conversations that you felt comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think that's a pretty cool tactic. You
Back
know?
To basics.
I like that.
For me, at least. It was interesting, and it works. I try to do it today. I'm sure I'll be making phone calls on the way home after this. So
tell me about – you and I were talking before this. I mean, kind of we were talking about the old school ways kind of not working. And you mentioned a book when you first got in the oil field. The Salesman Bible book?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was always referred to me as that. You know, whether you're in sales, whether you're car sales, whether you're selling a lemonade stand on the side of the road, whether you're oil field, whatever it is, everybody always preached about, hey, Dale Carnegie's book, the How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
And man, I took that to heart when I first got to Houston. People were like, you need to read this. This is a great book. And hey, in the 80s when it was written, I'm sure it was a phenomenal book. And I'm sure there's somebody going to listen to this and go, this guy's an idiot, which is fine. I'm wrong from time to time. I'm wrong plenty.
But it's
I'll
also
be wrong
your
again.
Opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
That book doesn't work for me. And I embraced it for a while. And like we talked about, I've walked into offices and you're looking at the stuff on the wall. And
well, give me a little bit. So it's a lot of people read the book and all that, but the point is to be a chameleon. Right?
Yes. You're developing this rapport with people. It's all about developing rapport, but it's not genuine. And that was difficult for me because I was walking in and you're trying to be a chameleon and fit in. And, you know, you walk into JP's office and you see whether he's got a bourbon on his desk or he's got a deer on the wall or he's got an A&M helmet, coffee mug, whatever it is. And you're trying to think. So I used to walk into office and look up and be like, well, I need to learn about deer hunting or I need to learn about the Aggie football season or I need to learn about that type of bourbon or whatever. And I spent more time going home and trying to learn about all these things that were irrelevant. And not irrelevant, that's a bad word to use, but it wasn't necessarily,
genuine.
It was not genuine.
I like other stuff besides bourbon, by the way, for the record. But no, but that's good. I mean, that's a very good point though. I mean, to me, in our business, I mean, the great part about our business is that we can work with our friends. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't establish friendships being like, okay, well, Tyler likes duck hunting. I'm going to learn about duck hunting. Hey, Tyler, I like duck hunting too. Let's be friends. No, that's not genuine.
Well, who wants to also, most of our customers are extremely intelligent people. The operators out there, the engineers out there, the VPs, the execs, whoever we're calling on at the time are extremely intelligent people. I don't think they are genuinely impressed by somebody who just walks in and agrees with everything they say, doesn't challenge them. Hey, listen, if I can walk in and go, JP, I know nothing about podcasts. I'd like to pick your brain on this. Hey, my thoughts on this previously were, I didn't like them, I do like them, whatever it was. And we can have a genuine conversation about it. We don't have to agree. But you can go and have the same conversations with people, be genuine. But going back to the Dale Carnegie book, it just wasn't a genuine feeling for me. I didn't like it. I'm not this chameleon going and doing all these things. So a few years later, I started reading some other series of books. I love the Jeb Blunt series of books. He wrote a book, Fanatical Prospecting.
You said Jeb Blunt?
Jeb Blunt. He wrote Fanatical Prospecting, which is a great kick in the ass for any sales guy.
Okay.
That needs to. It's all about filling your pipeline and staying busy and continuing to do things, not being satisfied with what you have today, but looking at tomorrow, looking at 2 months, 6 months, what you got going, keeping your pipeline full. He's wrote a couple other books that I haven't had the opportunity to read lately. He just wrote a book, Virtual Selling, that I'm ready to read.
Oh, that's right in line with what's going on right now.
Yeah. The other one, People Buy You, and it's all about people buying from you because they trust you, you're genuine. Respecting people's time is a huge theme through these books. And saying, hey, this is what you go in to accomplish. This is what you go. You don't have to go in and pretend to be something you're not. You can walk in and say, JP, I'm here. I want to earn your business. I sell this, this, and this. I'm here to meet about this and find out what your particular needs are today, rather than, hey, I see you like bourbon.
Yeah.
Hey, I see you like this. And then
let me waste an hour of your time talking about this mm-hmm. and not even get to the point.
Hey, let me see if we're a fit. I'd like 5 minutes of your time. If it turns into 10 because you decide to, that's great.
Yeah.
If we can set up a further commitment down the road to have a meeting to discuss further business, even better.
Yeah.
And then Grant Cardone was another one that I listen to his podcast as well. His books are great.
What does he focus on?
He's a real estate guy.
Okay.
Which is not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but his intensity is there. His grind is there. It's also very much about respecting people's time and asking for what you want to be and being genuine. You don't have to go in and be somebody's best friend. If you develop a relationship through it, that's fantastic. But one of the big things he talks about is going in and developing this facade of who you are to, to conform to what somebody else likes, you're not going to develop a real relationship with somebody moving on from there. So, but even though you're a little bit less, it's not interested, but you're a little less into profiling what they do or what they are, but you are more genuine in your time and use of their time and respectful of them.
But that's the thing, any relationship, I mean, if you come mm-hmm. across something that's not genuine or something that you're not, I mean, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a relationship
sure.
with your husband or wife or anything like that, or a yeah. customer. I mean, if you're not genuine and you're trying to form to something, like for example, you, mm-hmm. all right, let's say you're a customer of mine. You're a turkey hunting fanatic, all right? I know nothing about it. And I've learned from you that it's actually an art. You know what I mean? It's a difficult art. I never knew that before.
Yeah.
But if I walked in your office and I'm like, oh my God, I love turkey hunting. Like,
yeah.
I'd be screwed.
Yeah. And then somebody goes, and then, hey, somebody bites and goes, really, JP, you're a turkey hunter too? Where do you go? What do you do?
I'll just go to your Instagram and find out where you hunted last.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I'm full of it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I've never been, but I want to go. I mean, then you start kind of dancing back and it's like, well, okay, who's this joker in my office? You know what I mean?
Well, you look up and you come in or you walk in and you say the exact same thing you just said. Hey, I've never been, but I'd like to go. Hey, that's one of the things I really enjoy is taking people for their first time or their first opportunity. And there's an actual opportunity to form a relationship.
Absolutely.
And it's genuine.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that.
So
books have kind of have really been a huge, and were you always one of those people that read those business books and
no.
professional business books?
No, it was one of those things I got into later. And more so since I've been in Houston, and especially more so in the past, probably 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
It hasn't always been something I hated reading. Reading was, I remember growing up and reading, like when we got in trouble, it was like, hey, you go to your room and you're going to read a book.
And that's what I'm trying to see. Yeah. So my daughter, she's 85 months mm-hmm. now. And like, that's one of those things. It's like, it's I don't want to make reading a punishment, mm-hmm. you know, but then she won't enjoy it. So right. you got to think of other stuff.
But I'll be honest, the biggest thing that's happened it's probably been in the past two years, it's made it more enjoyable, has been the audiobooks, the podcast, the ability to be stuff. I'm not good at sitting down. I can sit down on a plane and read a book. I can't listen to an audiobook on a plane. Right. I'll go to sleep immediately.
Yeah.
But I can sit down and read a book on a plane. But I can read 3 books this month driving
around the Beltway.
Yeah, driving around the Beltway or going to South Texas to visit location or on my way somewhere to do something. And it's great. So
what other tools do you have in your toolbox to help you drive through these times and also build your professional, outlook or lenses?
So going back the reading and growing your knowledge base and trying to get other perspectives through podcasts, through books has been great. But I go back to the people you're sitting with at the table.
Okay.
Who you're sitting around the dinner table with, who you're talking to on the phone daily.
What are you saying? Who? What does that look like to you?
So, friends and customers, guys in the industry for sure, that'll look up, fellow sales guys or whatever. You call looking for, some connection or to further your network or to get in with a group. But you can also call with frustrations and say, I'm really struggling to get in touch with J.P. Warren this week.
Right.
I met him at an event 6 months ago. I really want to do that. And somebody goes, you need to email this guy. Dude, I've been emailing him. And going back to that, they look up and go, what'd you email him? I emailed him, I'd really like 10 minutes of your time.
An informal coffee, whatever. Yeah.
Sure. And I've had guys go look up in the past and go, well, did you provide any value in that statement for him? Oh, no, maybe I didn't. And these are little things, different.
But those little things are, if that gets a response.
A while back, somebody said, change your email. Tell him why to meet with you. Tell him why your time, why meeting you with value would add value to him. And that sounds really simple, right? But we're guilty of not doing it from time to time. We send out an informal email. Sit down, think about what you accomplish, think about what you want to do, reshape emails, reshape your voicemail, reshape your text message.
And also that being said, that doesn't mean you have to add another paragraph or two.
No.
It might actually be slimming it down.
Slimming it down, making it effective for people, and then talking to people. Say, JP's kind of a straight cut to the chase type guy, or JP's a, really enjoys kind of BSing a little bit, so send him something else. And so relying on those guys, but it's been really good for those guys to look up, and it's customers as well, friends as well. And you can call a customer and say, I'm trying to get in touch with your VP, or I'm trying to get in touch with your guy on location. What do you suggest? And asking someone what they suggest is really helpful. People like giving advice. People like teaching and like having an opportunity to help people for the most part that I've seen.
And potentially it actually could be one of those things like, Tyler, I know him. I'll come to lunch with us. We're going to lunch today.
Even join better. Us.
Yeah. But if that happens.
Sure.
But yeah, asking counsel and asking advice, I see you have a relationship with this person. What do you recommend how to get a response back?
Yeah. And then another big thing about trying to, for me, we talked about it previously, is, we talked about mental health. Sitting down at the dinner table at night, putting your phone away, talking about your day, doing your thing, decompressing.
Why is it important putting your phone away? As in a sales role.
So for you and me, I don't know that I can. You and me can't put our phone in our pocket. We've talked about this.
Nope.
It goes off, and all we're thinking about is getting to it.
And even if not, you might be just bored. You have like 30 seconds. You just go in your pocket and check it. It's something that's constant, right?
Sure. So put it away. Sit down. Talk about your day with people. Go through. Take some time to decompress. And that's been extremely helpful as well. Just protect that mental clarity and your mental health right now, especially with everything that's going on.
Dude, I think everything going on right now, whether it's the news, whether it's social media, it's a global depression, and putting your phone down. Yes. It's unplugging from that, but it's also connecting with your circles around you face to face, which I think is crucial. You kind of shed some of that, the weight that you're carrying around with you.
Yeah. This is your opportunity to plug in with people. You're sitting at the table with your friends, with your family or whatever. And for me, it's funny. We had so much people interaction previous to this. And, you'll find yourself guilty. You finally get to the table with someone and you're picking up your phone, playing or whatever, or checking emails or doing something. And it's impersonal again. sit down and enjoy that person-to-person interaction.
Well, I find myself, you know, sitting on the couch, you know, my wife, you know, about to watch a, you know, we're watching a movie, and I'll just take my phone out, and I'll just start, you know, going through and all stuff. And I have to actively, okay, stop, like, take my phone, put it in the kitchen, just because it's like, you know, she doesn't get on me, that, but it's like, I want to
spend time with you,
decompress, unplug from my phone, and just spend time,
which is a great thing. You know, it's,
you don't have to always know what's going on, have your finger on the pulse in the world on every breaking news story.
Well, especially now, whenever, you know, being first to press and not necessarily being right or accurate, you know, you get a lot of necessarily not great information if you're always.
No, I'm going to say it's all bull. I'm going to say a lot of it's bullshit information. I will say the main media. I think a lot of it's bullshit. I think a lot of it's clickbait. I think a lot of people they're trying to push fear. They're trying to push disinformation.
Sure.
And I don't trust it. I mean, you know, I don't trust the billionaires. I just trust the news. Well, who do you think owns the news channels?
That's exactly right.
So anyway.
So, you know, being plugged in constantly isn't necessarily a good thing.
You get fatigued that way.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think keeping your circle strong has been something really important. So having a good, call it support system, has been huge to helping keeping your mental health good, to keeping relationships good. And it's good to have somebody that sits there and goes, hey, get up, go do it, whatever it is, or support you.
So talk to me about the mental health aspect of it, because I know that helps you change your, I guess, your motivation. It could either bring you up or bring you down. What do you mean mental health?
You know, just getting just typical stress. I think everybody's stressed right now. I know I have been different times for different reasons. But having those people that look up and go, hey, you can tell me, take 5 minutes. Moan, complain, whatever it is you're going to do, and then look up and go, hey, what are you going to do about it? And then also seeing stuff you like in people and you want to mirror in people. Got a great friend of mine in San Antonio. He's a phenomenal salesman.
All right.
But one of the things I appreciate about him most is I see the family aspect of his life. That is like a huge driving factor. He works to support his family. He does all this. I've been on location with him at 3:30 in the morning. We finally get done with the job, and you look up and it's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I'm going to the hotel. I'm going to get some sleep. I've been up for however long. And you look up, and he lives in San Antonio. So if you're in the Eagle Ford, he looks up, he goes, dude, I'm on the way home. If I leave now, I can be home to cook my kids breakfast and bring them to school. And so you look at that. Well, that's not the professional.
I love that, though.
That, it's so cool to look up, and we have guys like that who are influential. And that's stuff you want to be like.
Yeah.
Because I know other guys that are, you know, I've looked up, and they're like, man, I've got 3 days away from the wife and kids, and I'm gonna try to drag this job out or whatever. And it's like,
I hope we get stuck.
Yeah, and that's not the ones I you know want to mirror or whatever. So you get to see cool things like that. So it's not just the guys you surround yourself on just a purely professional level. It's about, you know, having good morals, about doing whatever. And
good moral compass. Yeah. But you also mentioned something before the podcast, too. It's also taking time for yourself. I mean, you talked about the self-reflection side of things. Where, you know, before you get up and go, up and grind, take a pause, you know. Look at the resources that you have and your network has. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For example, you might be an excellent turkey hunter, and I might not be, but I might have a customer that's like, hey, I'm not one. Tyler, do you mind?
Sure.
Use your resources around you. So that's a good self-reflection, but also the mental health. You talked about doing stuff you enjoy.
So, yeah. So there's some days, you know, going back to that, like we're saying, there's some days you get up and you are just not in the zone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish we were. I wish I was a robot and could go 100% of the time, never sleep and do it the entire time. We're not geared like that. Sometimes you burn out. Even the super high output people, they cannot go 100% of the time. So if you wake up in a bad day, having a bad day, if you've got something on your mind, if you've got something you need to get right at home or in your head, take some time, take a break, go decompress. Whether you need to go happy hour with a buddy of yours, whether you need to go for a run or a walk, or you
go
need
fishing,
to
go, as you said,
go
play
fishing,
around the golf by yourself.
Yeah, whatever it is, go to the driving range, go get your head right. Hey, some people can do that in as little as 10 minutes. 30 minutes, an hour. Some people may take an entire day.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if it takes you 2 days, it makes you that much more efficient for the next however long. Go do it. And that's one of the things also I'd like to see more managers implement as well, as supporting their people like that. Because we get used to seeing our employees and our guys and our team work hard and stuff, but you get used to that high output as well, because you want high output teams, you want successful individuals, you want these go-getters. They've got to be performing all the time.
So if the pedal's to the metal for that long,
you burn out.
Yeah.
So don't burn them out. If they need some time, give it to them and let them go. Hey, if it's not working out, they're gonna show it themselves. But these high performing guys are gonna do it for you. They're gonna do it, and they're gonna appreciate you giving them that latitude to go get it right. Because telling a sales guy or an operations guy or anybody, hey, your head's not in it, go do the job anyway, is terrible.
Oh,
that's
the wrong motivator right there.
100%.
That's the wrong motivator right there. And they will, and people do perform, I guess, at higher levels of output and efficiency whenever they do have, you know, whether it's proper sleep, whether it's exercise, whether it's time away from, you know, pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
So that's very. So what else? I mean, I guess what are you looking forward to? I guess moving forward. I mean, you change your mindset. You're doing what you got to do. How are you today expanding your networks?
So right now, still making phone calls, still getting out.
What if it's a cold call?
Cold calls are interesting, but, you know, we have seen more guys. I've got guys that I've emailed for a couple years that don't respond. And, you know, you just put them in the list. You email them no matter what.
And you don't expect, you're like, I'm going to ping them anyway.
Some of these guys are emailing back now. Some of these guys are going, hey, good to hear about your services. Good to hear you're in business, because that's relevant right now as well. We've had a lot of guys get out of the industry. So people hearing, hey, there's a company that provides this service. Hey, we're an environment that we want and where we need to price services. And I've heard they need people to provide services right now because they need to shop. They need to be conscientious of how they spend their money.
Right.
So they need people to see it. So they see a service provider out there and go, hey, I know I've been ignoring this guy for a long time. And some of them are responding. Some of them don't. And I'm going to email them next week.
Yeah. So you're seeing kind of the correspondence.
It's changed.
It has changed. I've noticed that too.
And it's cool to see the guys that have blown you off for so long.
Yeah. You're like, hey, man, come on in.
Yeah. And we've also, it's been interesting. So we've had an opportunity where you don't realize that even the guys that have blown you off for a while, because I've had a couple calls of previous guys that worked in roles that blew me off. And they've picked up an email on their personal email. Hey, and jobs have changed, whatever. And they're like, hey, I'm looking for a position. Can you keep your ears open?
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I'm happy to help the industry. I want to be a good steward. I want to help. I want to do that. But they know who you are. And you've got an opportunity to build a relationship in time. It's a different build. It's a different mindset. But if you can do something, if you can help people out right now, if you can give them information,
that's going to go far.
They appreciate it.
Yeah. I think any help or support that you give anyone, whether it's forwarding a job on LinkedIn or talking to someone with less experience, or maybe speaking to someone, I mean,
Yeah. Do it as much as you can. Expanding your network. I'd like to say, you know, still I'm out there trying to do as many events as possible right now. We had a stint, I guess.
How are you seeing the event turnouts lately?
So we first started with Oilfield Helping Hands in Port O'Connor, saltwater fishing tournament. It was a great turnout.
Yeah. That was kind of one of the first ones.
When
everything kind of, yeah.
It was. Up. So I've kind of, you know, like I said, kind of going back to what, as much as you can, back to basics and doing things that worked previously. So if there's a tournament we can be at, we go. People, of course, there's people that have reasons to stay in and are going to stay in. To each their own and do your thing. There's other groups that really want to get out, really want to see people, really want to go play golf, really want to do this. So we've been at the tournaments. My team has been out cooking. We go to as many tournaments as we can. You know, we still try to be as safe as possible, but getting out there and seeing people's been great.
Yeah.
Got to meet some people that, hey, I knew through the names, but now
you never put a face to the name.
No, now you're out there, and you know, maybe it's a fist bump instead of shaking a hand. Which I'm ready for handshakes to come back in full form.
You know what? Uh, I, Look, I'm fine. Look, handshakes are there. You know what I mean? Handshakes are there. But that being said, I'm fine with just doing fist bumps.
Sure.
Moving forward. I mean, that being said, first off, I hate being sick. It's not COVID. I just hate being sick.
Like I'm with you.
I'm a baby when I'm sick. And if that's the thing where it's just a kind of, I can do a fist bump. First off, it looks cooler. It's quicker. And I don't know where your hands have been. You know what I mean? I don't know what you've done with it. You know what I mean? I remember when I was working offshore, I had had some dip and one of the roughnecks was like, hey, man, give me a pinch. I'm like, no. Like, why not? I'm like, I saw you go over the handrail right there.
That's exactly right.
Where's the washing station? No.
Yeah.
You're not putting your junk in my tin.
No, I'm with you. I get that. but it's people are out. People want to be out. There's a group of people that wants to be out.
Yeah.
So why not be out meeting those guys if you can do it safely, if you can do it well, and you can do it well received. So we've been cooking at every event we could. Golf tournaments have been great. Shooting events have been great.
And that being said, I mean, I'm just thinking right now, I mean, you know, rather than just find events to go to, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, man, I mean, this is a great opportunity to take it on yourself and create something, you know what I mean? Like
sure.
whether it's a little dinner at your home, you mm-hmm. know, or whether it's create your own little happy hour, create your own little dinner, create your own little space. You don't wait for the industry to say, okay, well, come here to meet people. Try to use your network to create something.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to, hey, listen, take a pan of something to someone's house and drop it off with them, go to them.
Yeah.
Whether it's take an ice chest and go have a beer in the driveway, whether it's, hey, listen, invite people to the house or whatever you want to do, whatever people are comfortable with and you're comfortable with, go do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't wait on the industry, but definitely utilize as much industry help as you can.
So that's kind of a tool in the toolbox that people have used. You know what I mean? Using industry events and all that stuff. But also, I think that people need to. We always say get creative, but kind of going back to what I just said, like kind of create your own opportunities, create your own events, create your own little happy hours, or what would benefit you and your company or you and your networks.
Mm-hmm.
Create that. What tools in that toolbox that are out, that are in the trash now? Obviously, the salesman Bible book is. What tricks and trade are you not going to go back to?
You know, as far as not going back, I haven't really.
Well, don't say not never, but that you don't see a benefit going back to.
I don't think we're going to see people go back to the big happy hours like we used to have.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be just a hodgepodge of people piled up at a bar on Thursday afternoon or the Friday afternoons or whatever. I don't think we're going to see that as much. I enjoy it, but I don't think we're going to see that near as much.
Breakfast run.
Oh, man, don't even get me started. I would love to have someone to bring a donut. I enjoyed the breakfast runs before. I'd love to get back to it. I don't think we're going to see it for a while. All the offices I've talked to, they're not going to let us in.
No.
For a while.
No.
I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but I enjoy having a place to go drink a cup of coffee and hang out in the break room, talk to a few people, and have opportunities to visit with people. And it was part of my regimen. It gave me somewhere to be from 6 a.m. till, if you had a meeting after 4 p.m., you were usually getting in trouble. Like, it was probably a bad meeting if I was having a 4:30.
Yeah, if I
was having a 4:30 meeting on a Friday, I was in trouble.
Some of my old boss, he's a 4:30 meeting on a Friday. Yeah, but I'm on overtime.
That's exactly right. But I don't think we're going to see the breakfast runs near as much. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope we get back to that. I hope we get to a point where we can.
Or potentially something is created during these times that replaces that.
Yes.
You know, whatever that looks like, whether it's you're hosting something, you know, taco outside there, whatever that looks like, but something that might replace it.
Yeah. I mean, I might have a taco truck next year, food truck riding around from office to office early in the morning, handing out tacos before it's all over.
And we get Heitz Baby right behind with Shane Scher and Seth doing that.
Somebody told me one pre-COVID a while back, said, we were sitting around office and said, do you want to deliver breakfast tacos for the rest of your life? And I would right now. I would deliver breakfast tacos for the rest of my life right now. I miss it.
You miss the interaction.
I do. I miss the people interaction. And I hope we get back to where we have a little bit more of that.
Once things calm down, once things shift, once things get a little bit more calm with this arena we're in. So, hey, we're kind of coming up on time right now. What kind of is there anything I'm missing out that I'm not discussing with you?
No, not that I can think of. You know, we know, getting back and just trying to network and trying to, I think the big thing is really just taking time right now to be aware. If you need a minute to self-reflect or you need a minute to decompress, go do it.
Yeah.
It's still stressful. It's still, the industry is still evolving and changing. So you need to be evolving and changing as well. What that may be for you may be different. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, you need to get better at this or do better at this. I don't think there's one playbook for anybody. I think it's what fits in your wheelhouse. So I think you really sit down and figure out what does well for you. For me, it's sitting down and doing some reading, having a great group, and trying to really sit down and think about my strengths and where I play. And that is trying to find that everyday grind that mirrors as much as possible as the old one.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out what worked in your wheelhouse before and just have a little bit of adaptation to it and change it, and you can have success out of that, I think that's huge.
But even also coming up with new tools for you.
Sure.
And that could come from that self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, new tools. I mean, going back to the books. I had the old tools. You had the old books.
Mm-hmm.
The new books. Huge change.
There's a new way right
now. And there's going to be something else that comes out that's influential and helpful and says something new. So keep your eyes open. Keep looking for something new. And keep exploring new possibilities.
That's a good point. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's about it right now.
And everyone, again, this is Tyler Vernado with the Business Development Manager at Axio Case Toll Services. You can reach out to him on LinkedIn or... Mm-hmm.
LinkedIn, email, wherever. Phone's always on.
What's your email?
tvarnado@teamaxio.com.
Boom. There it is. Mm-hmm. And you can reach us at roundtherotary@cap-petra.com. If you have any questions for me or you want to get in touch with Tyler, go ahead. Tyler, I appreciate you coming in. Man, I like your message. It's a... I'm sick of hearing the new normal. The new normal. This is just normal now. You gotta recreate, resharpen, and come up with new stuff to successfully attack and build your networks these days.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, it's an old saying, and it's repetitive, and it's done. And you may familiarize with it. Complaining's like a rocking trail. Worrying's like a rocking chair. Give you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So let's do something. Let's make a change and move on.
And even if that's reading, even if that's self-help books or self-professional books like that, I think that's a good avenue right there because you're bettering yourself.
Yeah, I think knowledge is power. And listen, learn. You may read a book that you say, "Boy, that was terrible," and you learn something you don't want to do, and that's helpful as well.
You don't have to read everything that you agree with. You can read the opposite things, and that gives you more perspective on why you agree or disagree with something.
That's exactly right.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
People don't do that these days. It's the news. Anyway, Tyler, I appreciate you coming in, man. I wish you the best, and I think that that you shared a lot of valuable stuff today, man. I appreciate it.
Well, man, I've enjoyed it. Thank you for having me. It's been fun. First time to do a podcast, and hopefully we'll be sitting around with a little more gray hair in a few more years doing a few more of these.
In the oil field. If we want to be.
Who knows?
Some people might want to leave the oil field. That's fine.
I hope we're here.
Yes.
But I hope we're successful wherever we're at.
Amen. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate it. You have a good day. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And you can find Around the Rotary on any you're listening right now, wherever you listen to. But we're on YouTube and Instagram as well. So thanks, everyone, for joining, and we'll see you soon.